Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. We're going to hook up with friends of ours, friends for at least 31 years, because that's around the time we met Charlotte Moore and Kieran O'Reilly, and they were announcing that they were going to establish an Irish repertory theater in New York. And I think I had something negative to say, but I have forgotten, and hopefully they have too. You're very welcome indeed, Kieran and Charlotte. How are you?
We're very well, Adrian. It's so lovely to hear your voice. I miss seeing you every day.
Well, no, I want to again, you know, for both of you and for the Irish Repertory Theatre, whatever reaction most of us had when we got hit with this plague, we couldn't help but wonder how, in the name of God, you were going to bring a repertory theater, a stage, you know, a more than three decades of live on-stage performances, and now what? Can you reflect on that conversation? And you could leave out the expletives, but when you and Kieran, how did this come about, apart from the total shock that the rest of us got, the realization? How did that go?
Kieran?
You're talking about what happened in March.
Yes.
So we had two shows running at the same time,
right,
as we usually do. We had Lady G, the band Lady Gregory, downstairs,
right,
in the studio, and Incantata, Paul Muldoon's play with Stanley Townsend on the upstage. We just received on that same week an absolute rave review in the New York Times for Incantata, and we've been waiting for it for a long time to come, but it came, and it was also almost the same day we had to put up a closing notice to close it down the show because of Incantata. We were also in rehearsals for Eugene O'Neill's A Touch of the Poet, and we're about to go in and start rehearsals for The Smuggler, starring Mick Mullanphy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all happening, you know, and we were having a really good season for the most part, and then suddenly we just had to walk away from it all, you know, and it was really quite, you know, quite painful in so many ways. You know, it's suddenly.
Very.
You know,
Adrian, Kieran was at the end of his rehearsal period for A Touch of the Poet, and the last days in the rehearsal room, and just about to move down onto the stage for the technical rehearsals, and we closed down in one afternoon, didn't we, Kara?
Yeah.
It was.
You know, we kept on not expecting it to happen, and so we stayed on rehearsing, you know, until the Sunday evening, whatever that was. It might have been like March 15th or something, and we told the actors we'll see you all on Tuesday. You know, Monday's their day off, and by the time we got home that night, the schools had been shut down, and it just made no sense to keep going. So it was very painful to have to, you know, get on the phone to them all and say, you know, we're gonna have to. It was down for a few weeks.
Yes, that's 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yes,
yes,
indeed.
Go ahead.
And the sets were built and ready to be loaded on to the stage. The sets are still at exactly where they were, still ready to be loaded onto the stage. And I think we will one of these days when things are better, we will be doing A Touch of the Poet, Kieran's production of A Touch of the Poet.
That's fantastic. Now, what did you Google at that point, okay, where do we go now? There really wasn't much of a reference point as to how you bring live theater to the hundreds of thousands of fans, considering that you have about 50,000 people per year who are patrons of the Irish Repertory Theatre. That how it really wasn't a rules and regs book to consult at that point. How did you come up with what is now and has become very popular in, the digital, a full summer of, of digital offerings?
Programming. Adrian, we racked our brains and thought of what was possible and began. We just started doing it. That's it. And our crack staff was right there with us and we just began, didn't we, Kieran?
It was, it was just that, Charlotte. Yeah, we put our heads together and began to think of what plays would work well in front of a camera. What ways can we? I mean, we were just basically saying if our audiences can't come to us, we're going to come to them, and so we began with Brian Friel's Molly Sweeney, which seemed to be the perfect vehicle for for it's three people in isolation themselves, and we were all isolated, and they're all telling a story, and they're telling a story to somebody, so we were able to tell our stories to the cameras. And go ahead. And Charlotte directed it, via Zoom. Where she could, she looked at the when we would shoot them on our iPhones and send them to her, and she'd look at them and give notes, and then we do them again. And that was the first one. And then after that, we had the wonderful Aideen Maloney did her Molly Bloom's Yes, and she did it again in isolation in Miami. And so Molly Bloom comes to Miami, and so she was, lying in her bed waiting for Leopold Bloom to return home. But you could see the lights of Miami in the background. And then came the Weir was the next one after that then, and that had its own set of challenges because there was more people and they were all supposed to be in a pub in Leitrim, that was...
And Kieran, say where they really were.
So the five actors in the bar who come in, they were in five different states, Adrian. They were in New York, Connecticut, Vermont, North Carolina, and New Jersey. And so we had to, on each day that we would do a scene on it. Again, I was directing it via Zoom. So the five actors would be all pretending they were in the same pub at the same time, drinking the same pints, lighting their own cigarettes and lighting other people's cigarettes.
Wow.
And then we shot them in front of this thing called green screens.
Yes.
So we were able to afterwards put in the backdrop of the pub so they all in fact did look like they were all in the same pub on the same time. And we had sent them on, the same glasses from the pub, for instance, so that
yes.
when the barman would pull a pint and he'd hand it over.
He'd pull a pint and hand it over from Connecticut to New Jersey.
Wow. makings of a play. Does it get easier as you go along? I know that you have both of you have taken on mammoth tasks over your now 32 years in actually presenting the almost impossible. You didn't have to balk at how difficult a play or a performance was going to be. You just went ahead and was this one kind of And does it get easier? Is there a knack that you want to share with us so that we can all go out and do this?
Share a knack with me.
It doesn't get easier, Agent.
We're learning as we go along.
Yeah, and I think each play will have its own set of problems and its own set of challenges. You know, it's exciting because it's something different. Nothing replaces live theater.
Yes.
So you know, when you're sort of are doing things in a bit of a vacuum, you're doing it without, you know, you're a comedian cracking a joke and there's nothing coming back.
Nothing.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. Have we watched, you know, the late night talk show host there?
Yes, I have. I'm isolated and quarantined in St. Louis, Missouri, so I look forward to the late night because they're in New York, and I miss it so much.
I've often wondered what happened to the laugh tracks that were around for years. You know, somebody ground out, this.
Oh, thank God! Thank God that they don't use them. I mean, yeah. I remember Woody Allen in one of his movies like that, where he had to write a sitcom or something like that, and they were putting in the laugh track. And he, I remember him asking, "Do you have booze?"
I don't remember that, Kieran, but thanks for the joke.
It's in Annie Hall, actually. Yeah.
All right. Here now, this is going too smoothly, so I want to throw this out. Why can you not, for instance, you were just speaking about the Weir there, and the performance on screen is, say, for 4 days. Is there something different about this that, for instance, you're not going to have a long run except for Mondays? And what's the reasoning behind that?
It's a union issue at the moment. In theory, it's a technicality, Adrian, but we're under a thing called the Theatre Authority. And it's they basically allow you to do shows over a 4 day period as a benefit.
Yes.
To the organization, and that's basically what we've been doing.
Right.
Now you know there's no the unions are going through a very tough time in trying to come up with something that's going to work. That's sustainable because God knows the poor actors and who are and designers. God knows everybody we know are going through a very hard time, especially with health benefits and salaries and all of these things. We have yet to be given guidance on what it is that we can do and can be allowed. Obviously, we can't. We can't. Pay the same things that we paid, so they need to come and they need to work with us and trying to see what it is we all can do together during this time. And so at the moment we work under a different contract outside of Actors Equity.
Yeah.
We work on the Screen Actors Guild contract. So.
Okay. In the meantime, though, you have, it's a newly designed state-of-the-art theater, located at 132 West 22nd Street in the historic Chelsea district of New York, and it's state of the art, and it's a pride and joy. But the first of the month does come around, as it does for the rest of us. What kind of pressure and strain does that present during this period?
All those bills are still there. We still have a mortgage. We still have utility bills and insurance and all of those things are there. I suppose we don't have we don't have big production costs like we would normally have because, right, you know, we don't, we're not doing anything, but we have, you know, zero income from, you know, from our normal box office thing. You know, when we were doing, and when we are doing our online shows, we're doing them as, you know, for free with suggested donations, you know.
Yeah.
And people have been great, and they've been generous, and they've been really kind and supportive. And it's meant so much to us.
Yeah.
You know, just really so much. But does it you know, does it pay our bills? No. You know, we have, it's going to be rough, but it's going to be rough with everybody, you know, so it's no use whining and complaining about it, you know.
Yeah.
No, you don't whine, you don't complain, and you don't give in.
Yeah. Well,
we have managed so far to keep our staff all employed for the most part, and it's that has been one of the great joys, is that they actually have all been able, and they're a wonderful crowd. I mean, we would not be doing, you know, the digital summer season with you know, we wouldn't
not
be
without them.
Without them, they've all jumped in and in extraordinary ways, and you know, way beyond their, you know, they're not things they signed up for, you know, and but they're making it happen, and so we just,
yeah,
you know, we're inspired by that.
There is something, I think we ought to point it out. When you have something that is for free, and that again because of all the nuances, the circumstances around what you're allowed to do in the first place, are there, and we hear that there are, a great number of people not only stepping up to the plate, say, with the suggested donation of $25, but those who actually, you know, dig deeper, knowing that shortfall is the difference between, you know, existing and going on. There are...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. People, many people are being very generous. Many people are, as you are, Adrian, aware that that we have a shortfall, and we're never going to get enough donations of $25, generous as that is, as well.
Right.
$5 is generous. Anything is generous at this point in time. But we're getting some help from, you know, some grants and from organizations that are still going and still listening and, you know,
right,
being generous to us.
But as you go back over 31 years, okay, whereas, you know, many theater groups, cultural groups do, you know, are helped by grants, the bottom line is, and has been, and I doubt if it will change now, and that is that it is your friends, it is your members, it are those who... are not looking for ticket price, but rather know when it comes under pressure, they're being tapped again. I think it's terrific, and hopefully there are some who will be in a position, you know, to make up for the others who, even, you know, $25 might be a stretch at this stage.
And there are, and there have been extraordinary. We have, you know, gotten, you know, incredibly encouraging donations from people from, based upon just the work that we're doing online, and in gratitude for that. And it really, you know, it inspires us to want to do more, because we, you know, at the moment we haven't been given any date that we're going to get back in there,
right,
you know, within the next few months. So we obviously need to, you know, we kept on saying, okay, we'll do one show and then we'll go back onto the stage and we'll be there. And then, okay, that's not happening. Okay, it's okay. So we're going to do a summer season. And for God's sake, when that's done, surely to God we'll be back in the fall, you know. But I think we may still be online in the fall, you know. So we're now making plans for that, and encouraged by the generosity of people who have been...
Incredible generosity and thoughtfulness. Just incredible. It does your heart good and makes you want to do good and work harder and, you know, and do some good stuff yourself. They're incredible people and are just so generous.
And the other thing, Adrian, is that's heartening is that we have, even though you did mention that, you know, the runs are short, you know, in that. But, for instance, with the Weir last week, more people saw the Weir last week than saw it in our entire 8-week, 12-week run that we did the time before.
That's incredible.
So,
okay. Go ahead.
That's it. So I'm just saying, in the midst of all of this, if there's silver linings to be had, one of them is that we certainly have had extraordinary outreach to new people who weren't aware of us before from all over the country, and it's been and it's been very heartening and great.
Now, spell out for us, please, the performances themselves, and let's get something out of the way. For instance, if somebody wanted now to go back and see the Irish and how they got that way, the Weir, it doesn't work like YouTube. You don't just hit a button on it or whatever. So then, in addition to those who would obviously like to see, and particularly the new medium of digital performances, they're at a certain time on certain days, and that's the way that it is.
That's it. Yeah, that's the way it is right now. There's a possibility, you know, due to use the cliche, by popular demand, we may find a way to bring them back. But our agreement was that was the times, and they're pretty much along show times, normal show times hours. So the show is at 7 o'clock, you know, on a Thursday, 8 o'clock on a Friday. There's a matinee on Wednesday at 3, and another on Saturday at 3. You know, just like the normal schedule that we would have if we were in the theater. When people sign up for it, they go to the website, they book their ticket, just the same as they'd normally book it online.
Right.
And then they can, you know, if they choose to make the donation, they can do it there and then, or else they'll regardless, we'll get a link to watch the show. It'll be emailed to them an hour or an hour and a half before the performance, and they click on that link and they get to watch that show. And after that, then it's taken off. You know, you can't.
Adrian, I want to tell you what we've just done. I don't want you to go away before I tell you what's coming up and what we've just done here. We've just completed filming Love, Noel at the Players Club, which is a special event that's coming up that I know you'll love because it's all music.
I know, and Noel Coward, my God.
And that was another extraordinary thing. So Charlotte Moore was down in St. Louis on her computer. The computer was set up at the Players Club in Gramercy Park, which is closed, and, you know, addressing all of the different regulations to film during the COVID-19. There's also
everybody was masked.
Yeah.
Everybody was masked. Everybody was, you know, was keeping the social distance. You know, there was all sorts of cleanings and everything was done to it. And it was there was very few people in the room. There was one videographer. It was myself, and there was our sound engineer, and they were the only three people in there with the two artists, who are old friends and meet all the time themselves anyhow, you know, outside of this. So they weren't. So, but regardless, they all were very careful about everything they did. You know, there were tests done and all that.
Right.
And I think we were one of the first in the city to actually film something during this time.
And recognized as such, actually, by the Wall Street Journal and New York Times, so many gave you credit there for being out front. Tell us a little bit, though, now, upcoming. The songs and the letters of Noel Coward and your stars. I see you've got Katie Sullivan.
We have Katie Sullivan and Steve Ross, both huge cabaret stars. I really didn't know how to approach them or for God's sake how to handle them, if they could be handled to say at all. But they're just wonderful stars, starry types, and they want to do everything perfectly, and they're both hugely talented and been doing cabaret around New York City and the world for years and years. And Noel Coward is the favorite of both of them. So it was a pretty spectacular week. We did it before downstairs for a while, and nobody could get in. It was sold out. Nobody could get in. So this time I hope people are going to watch and enjoy it.
Yeah. Now I know it's written. This was written and devised by Barry Day. Is that what that had to be? This is brand new. Had to be totally revised, devised on very short notice as well.
Well, Barry Day has written 8 books on Noel Coward, so he was completely sure of his craft and his facts and his notions about Mr. Coward. So,
but you're right, Adrian. Is that Charlotte did have to rethink how this was going to, because we were in a completely different medium and a completely different location. I think that's what he's talking about, Charlotte, how you had to rethink.
Yes. In the brilliant House of the Players, which is the most beautiful set, and Noel Coward would, I'm sure, have okayed the set if nothing else. I mean, he seems right at home there. As a matter of fact, we have a statue of Noel Coward on the set in this coming up, and we have him masked. He's wearing a mask as well.
How about that,
Adrian? Do you know the? Are you aware of what the Players is? What that club is?
Tell us.
It was Edwin Booth. It was where Edwin Booth lived, and he bequeathed it to make it into a club for actors. Back in the latter part of the 19th century. It's been a home since then for actors
since 1880.
Since 1880, and it's full of beautiful portraits. It has a Booth room that's left absolutely intact from the night that he died in that room, and it's quite shivery. He was the brother, of course, of the Booth that killed Abraham Lincoln.
John Wilkes.
And when his brother did that horrible act back then, he retired from the stage. He's thinking, well, obviously, there goes my career as well. Who would want to come and see who the brother of the man? But like all things, after a while he thought, well, people don't need to be blaming me for it, so maybe I will go back.
Before we wrap up, and again, no doubt the best place to get to get information on the digital performances on this screen, your home screen, is to log on to irishrep.org. But I just want to clear up something, because I don't know the answer myself. Just registering. So you don't just go to your computer at 7 o'clock and say, okay, let me tune into this. That's not the way it works?
That's not the way it works. You must go to irishrep.org, to our website.
Right.
And then you pick the show that you're going to watch, like Love Noel coming up.
Right.
Click on that. It'll give you an option to buy tickets.
Right.
And you go to buy tickets, and that's basically what you do. You'll just see that the tickets are at zero value. So, but then, of course, you will be asked to donate if you can.
Right.
To, and if you can't, we want you to enjoy the show. And that's basically what it is. But you must book, and you book for a specific show. It's not just the show. You book for the specific time.
Right.
And you will be sent a link for that time only to watch.
Yes.
And
when you say you book in advance, is that a day in advance, a week? What?
Oh, you can book. They're on sale right now. You can go to the website right now. Today's Saturday. You can get on the website and you can book.
Pretty much. That's very good. And you're responsible, of course, for your own parking while you're watching this.
You are. But you can't fidget. There can be no fidgeting while you're watching.
Yeah.
And no candy wrappers. No coughing. And for God's sake, go to the bathroom before you.
Yes,
absolutely. You know, all of it's. It's a strange time is for all of us, and I think that it's terrific that, you know, again, with all the adversity and all of the difficulties, that somehow the Irish Repertory Theatre is on. The show must go on, and it is online, and I think it's terrific. What about the box office? Is it better just to do this through the website?
They're both available. The box office actually has the same box office hours as it normally has. Our box office personnel will be answering from their homes, but you would not know that. There's no use going down to the box office. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
The building is closed. But you can call 712-727-2737. Or book online at irishrep.org.
Either one.
Good luck to you. And I know that we all share today the passing of a great, great supporter of all things Irish. And
Jim Cagney.
Jim Cagney, what a great person, and I doubt that there were many performances at the Irish Rep through the years that he and his wife Bridget didn't get to see always.
No, I don't think there was one performance they ever missed. I don't think ever.
Yeah.
They were marvelous, we hope to see Bridget, you know, soon when she comes back. But we certainly will miss Jim. He's what a gentleman, and what great support he gave both, both of in the monetary kind, but also in the spiritual kind. And in,
absolutely,
he was such a gentleman.
To both of you, thanks. I have to get the hang of this. I would prefer to be able to do this myself because I'm relying on Áine Sheridan, and as you know, both of you would know, Áine kept 6 feet away from me before the COVID.
That's a good thing too. You're so awful, Adrian.
Yeah, now I can see her in the distance, but when I do need to do something else like that, I have to say, pretty please, I'm at my age to be, God almighty. And you all right. Thanks to both of you.
Take care, Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian. Take care of yourself. Be safe, you and Áine. Be safe.
Thank you. Thank you.